Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
That's me! Yes. Steve-O here. Pastor Nate there.
There, here, there, and everywhere.
That's right.
Yes.
7:02 now. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. What?
It is your favorite hour of the week.
It is my favorite hour of the week.
No, I was talking to them.
Oh.
Because I'm being still like rapper, like where I'm like, this is your favorite hour of the week.
It's my favorite hour of the week.
It's kind
of
mine too. I really enjoy it.
I do too. I love it. Right up until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. when I have my new co-host for the morning
show. That's exciting.
Show.
Who is your new co-host?
Yeah, brand new. It's funny. We announced it at prom and I couldn't even finish the sentence. It was so ear-piercingly loud. Which I guess is a good thing, but I started to talk about it and say, you know, obviously I haven't had a co-host in some time. My last co-host no longer around, and yeah, and then we do that, and then we put it right there.
Yeah.
My last co-host isn't here, and so what happened is I needed a co-host. So I was talking to a good friend of mine, and I'm like, hey, you should move out here and be my co-host, and we laughed about it. And he hung up, and then about 2 hours later, called back and said, hey, I've been praying about it. Are you serious about that? And I said, sure. Why not? Steven, lead singer of Amberlin.
Amber freaking Lynn.
Yeah. And so, he's already in Albuquerque. He called me earlier, and he's like, I'm here!
Dude, let's
I can't believe this is really happening!
Let's just dance in the Holy Spirit while we listen to this for a second.
Woo! So yeah, true story. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m.
Where do we begin?
My new co-host who sings
sing
a lot
well
better
him.
Than Nate. But yeah, sadly it's not forever. It's not a forever partnership.
Can
but
it be? Please?
He put a tour on hold. The Amberlin record is pseudo on hold. It's got a new release date because of this. But he's here and he is excited. Not as excited as I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steven from Amberlin going to be joining
and
me
I
starting
think we
tomorrow
might,
morning.
We might get him on Shock Therapy a couple times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Be good.
I didn't want to bug him tonight.
Yeah.
He literally just drove in
maybe
from
next
Nashville.
Week. Maybe we can ask him next week.
Yeah. Next week's Mother's Day.
Oh, maybe not next week. Maybe the week after.
So we're going to be... We have wives and
Tuesday's
mothers.
Tuesday's my birthday.
This Tuesday?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Isn't that weird?
What are we doing?
I'm not doing anything, I don't think.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine. I don't want to hang out anyway.
No, we can hang out. No, I don't have cool. any. Like, my wife's like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, when's my birthday? And she's like, Tuesday. And I was like, oh,
wow.
Man. She's like, you must be getting old. I was like, no, I just don't care.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you don't care about
I'll
anything.
I'll buy you a World of Warcraft gift card that gives you playing time. So that you don't have to pay for playing time. Because that's what I want. Mine's in July.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyways, it's Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate. We'll start talking about things
I'll
that are important
an in-game
at some point.
Mount.
I promise.
I'll buy you an in-game mount.
You're a better friend than I am. I was just going to get
the aspects thing.
Yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Of course, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Shock Therapy Live, if you're new to the show, is basically a one-hour open forum, call-in show. If you're dealing with something, maybe you read something in scripture this week and you're like, what the H? Or you were like, and that means, what the hibernation? That's the only H word I could think of. What the
Holy smokes.
Spirit? Because you need to help me with this. And so that's what you do. And so you give us a call and we say, oh, okay, cool. Or maybe you got a friend who just sucks at life right now and has burned you. Or maybe you got a relationship right now that is not working out.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're just dealing with something and you need some help getting through it. Give us a call, 505-338-3700.
Maybe you got bit by a radioactive spider and you find that you have weird powers. You can shoot web out of your hands and you don't know why.
Yeah,
and
I
you're
can't
also
I
like
can't
a teenager going through puberty and it's all too much to handle.
Are you coming to the big screen July 2nd?
No.
Oh, well, Spider-Man is.
Avengers was good, though.
Avengers was amazing. Don't even start me on
man.
That topic. We'll talk for a whole hour of how that's the best
off.
Movie I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
Shock Therapy Live. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Are
you're
there?
On.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Charles. I was in a
a church here in Albuquerque, and the only way I can describe it is I was in a cult.
Okay. Wow.
This happened to me during the mid-90s, around 95, 96, 97, and it had a profound effect on me, and to the point where it kept me away from God for a while. He was there, but in the background, and kept me away from my studies and away from a real good personal relationship with him.
Yeah.
And something that happens with me periodically, I have a pretty good relationship with the Lord now, and things are a lot better than they were, but it took a long time to get to that point. And I was only in this church for a few years. And periodically, I drop into YouTube and on the internet, and I kind of look for stories, because there's a lot of painful stories there of people that were in this church and in this organization and in for longer than I was. And tonight I came across a lady who was in for 10 years. And to make a long story short, her mission nowadays, being away from the church, is basically spreading atheism.
Wow.
And it really strikes me hurtfully, because I understand that this church that I was in, they were real good about taking scripture and manipulating it.
Right.
Hmm.
And when you come up against someone like that, and I had a pretty good struggle with her, to tell you the truth. I'm pretty well informed biblically, and but to come up to somebody in that viewpoint where they already know a lot about scripture, and it's tough because they're spreading this, you know, they're real powerful weapon for Satan,
yeah,
to say the least. And what I was wondering is how would you address somebody in that situation?
I'll tell you, it's funny because as you started to speak, immediately I opened my Bible to Galatians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Verse 6 says, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And, you know, Paul goes on to talk about how he was called by God and how he, in verse 12, says, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And for me, when somebody comes against the Word of God and they have this skewed perspective, they have this skewed opinion, or they try and use it for their own gain, I think of these moments where it so clearly in Scripture says, if you are preaching a gospel contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And that's a scary thing. I mean, that's a bold, scary, scary thing. But so is someone who is leading astray God's children.
Yeah, and I think a big part of what you're saying is, apart from even the church, it's moved on past that. Is this lady who you encountered someone who used to go to this church, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And now she's left it, and now her mission is to spread atheism, correct?
Oh, yes, basically, okay. Very, in a very hardcore way. She's on YouTube and has a series of videos about deconverting from Christianity, from theism to atheism.
So,
and it was really sad, and I approached her with compassion. And I wrote a couple comments on her forum and just approached her with compassion. And I really haven't heard from her yet, but I wanted to get with you guys because I was walking to the store here, and I kind of thought, well, maybe you guys can give me a little bit of, you know, something to help
tell
this
her
lady along.
Yeah.
Because my concern for her is, I wanted to tell her, one of the comments I left her is that I would pray for her that some way that God comes back into her life and she has that peace again in her life, and that I can understand where she's coming from, because after 10 years in this church, I probably might have come out to be an atheist as well.
Yeah, this is what I would say to that. There's not any one thing that I can give you to tell her, and the reason behind that is you deal with different people in different ways. And what I mean by that is when I street witness or when I witness to somebody in an airplane or in passing, it's never the same script of what I tell them. I always talk to them and hear what they're saying, and then I use what they're saying and I reason through what they're saying with them. So if they say they believe in something else, we've done it on the show before. Why do you believe that? What makes you believe that? Where's your version of absolute truth coming from? And you really get down to it, and you can show them through a conversation that their way of thinking doesn't match up with truth, because the reality is that the only way of thinking that really matches up with truth is Jesus Christ. So any other way of thinking can be shown through a matter of conversation and time that it doesn't match up with the truth. So there's not any particular way that I can give you rather than to have a conversation with her and reason that out with her. And then number two, I would tell her, it seems like she's been burnt by this church, and that might be part of the reason why she holds these feelings. But it would be important to tell her that don't judge God based off of crappy followers of him.
Agreed.
Correct.
I
could see that that's a lot of what she's doing. A lot of the arguments that she's making is that people come to religion based on a lot of stuff that has to do with their family, and that they should get away from, not religion necessarily, but the spirituality and believing in Christ. A lot of times they do things that supersede their own wisdom. And the comments that I left her is basically I reverted to Scripture, and I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, where, I will make foolishness of the wisdom. And I can't quote it for word for word, but I know it popped right in my head as soon as I was talking to her.
Right.
The Spirit came to me, and I turned to my Bible right away, and I even left her a video response. But it just occurred to me that, a lot of times, like some of these evangelists that are on TV and stuff like that, that preach about wealth and money, and it's really, the way I view it, it's really a weapon in Satan's army, to detract us, because you get all these followers that are dedicated to God, and then they fall away because it's built more on the wisdom of man rather than discerning the Scripture by the Spirit. They discern it by what they're being told by the religion and told by the church. And I hate to use any names, but the fancy guy that's on TV, Joel, what's his name?
Joel Osteen, Smiley Teeth.
Yeah, Smiley Face guy. I don't know how you guys feel about him and everything else, but
we actually did an entire hour on
our good buddy Osteen.
Yeah, we really did. So
yeah, I mean, he's not my best pal or anything, but I mean, I look at that what he has to say, and most of it's about financial gain. And that's how I view it. And a lot of that is just people get so wrapped up in that. And I think that that's a real, situation that maybe I just wanted to get out there to.
Here's what I would say. Honestly, it's funny that you called in tonight. And obviously, I don't believe in coincidence. So I think it's amazing. On Friday night, we had our static radio prom, and a very dear friend of mine, Ray Del Toro, gave one of the best gospel messages I think I've ever heard. And afterwards, I was walking outside, and a young lady walked up to me, and she wanted to talk to the pastor. And I went and grabbed him, and I came back with him, and we ended up spending almost an hour with this young lady who was so hurt by the church because of the hypocrisy of people, because of the way that they acted, because of the way she was treated. And I was able to speak from a position of knowledge, because in my younger days, I was kind of an idiot, and I still am. I still make mistakes. I'm a sinner. You know what I mean? I am saved only by God's grace, and I still screw up. And talking to her, I had to remind her that no matter how she was burned by a pastor or a church or people who used the identity theft of Jesus Christ and proclaimed that they were followers of Christ, and then misused or mistreated one of his children, I had to remind her that we all are still given a choice. At the end of the day, it didn't matter that I was kicked out of church by my youth pastor, which I was, that I was told that I'm never going to amount to anything, that I was a black sheep, that I was infecting his flock, and that I had to leave. And that happened to me in high school. And I walked away too. And I said, screw this. Screw this church. I hate your Christians because you act nothing like Christ. And I walked away for a very long time. And it wasn't until I had a deep personal encounter that I discovered the truth that God removed that veil and opened up my eyes. But I had to have a very hard conversation with her on Friday that came down to this. What are you going to do when you stand before Jesus? Because he's not going to ask you, well, what about this person or what this person said or apologize for that person? What he's going to do is say, what did you do? What did you do with my name? What did you do with my name? You know the truth of Jesus Christ. And so you have to approach it with this, man. If she's known the truth and she's walking away, man, love her. But sometimes love is one of those tough things where you say, hey, check it. You know the truth. And because of some idiot who proclaimed Jesus and then turned around and stabbed her in the back, man, that's not Jesus. That's somebody stealing his name.
Yeah, and what I always say is we've each got to make a decision for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And don't let somebody else keep you out of heaven. Whether that somebody is somebody that hurt you or wronged you, don't let them make the decision for you that you're going to go to hell. If that's the decision you're going to make, you make that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's really important that we stop blaming other people.
Yeah.
And we look at the truth for ourselves and we weigh it up with the evidence of historical facts. And then we make our own decision. I think it's to every man is appointed a time.
Now, I will also say on the flip side of that, I would, and this is how we begin our conversation on Friday night, deeply, sincerely, and earnestly apologize for the stupidity of man for abusing the name of Jesus, because that does suck.
Yeah.
It's horrible when people misuse him and it hurts. It hurts. And so there's obviously a deep, deep hurt in her that she is now making videos against God, that she has decided that she is going to trash his name, that she's going to convert people to atheism because she was deeply wounded by man, not by God, because God loves her. And so I would remind her of that, because it's not his fault that his quote-unquote children act like such idiots sometimes. And unfortunately, we're going to find that in every church. No church is perfect because it's still run by man.
Yeah.
And so if she's waiting to find the perfect church, she's never going to find it. And she can't let that be her excuse. So,
yes.
Yeah, it seems like most of her attacks are basically on religion. I don't think that she understands that. It seems like she would be a little bit more intelligent have been in this church for 10 years, and I don't know if you're familiar with them or if I should use their name on the radio here.
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, they're not here in Albuquerque anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, still, well, then slander away. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, you know, this is just what I would say. You know, and again, there's not any particular formula of what you can say to her that's going to reveal the truth to her. You have to have a conversation with her. You have to listen to what she's saying. And in a sense, you have to use apologetics and kind of pick apart what she's saying and get to the bottom of it. And, you know, do it in love. And you know, say some of the things that we've said. But ultimately, it's going to be a conversation that has to be had with
exactly
what she believes and how she feels.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate you guys. I just wanted to say that, you know, I was in this church also, and like I said, it's had an effect on me, and I think it was for a reason. I think it's helped me kind of minister to a lot of people in my life, and I look at myself as kind of a walking minister. You know, I haven't really situated down on one church, but you guys have been there. When I was in this church in the 90s, they talked about Calvary as kind of like an arch rival, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
You guys have been pretty firm for me in the last year, and I tune into a lot of your programs and listen to it, and I'm kind of interested in getting into the chapel corps or something over there at Calvary.
Dude, that's awesome. And that's what I was just about to say let me challenge and encourage you to jump on board somewhere, you know, whether it's Calvary or another ministry in town. Dude, if you're feeling led, because right now, wandering and going from church to church, you know, you're still susceptible, man, standing by yourself. You know, the wandering minister idea, the traveling minister. Buckle down, man. Get involved. And I know that you were hurt as well. I've been there. I know those hurts and those pains from churches and people who call themselves followers of Christ. But at the same time, they aren't Christ, you know? And I would encourage and challenge you, man, jump on board somewhere, wherever it is, man.
Yeah, you know, we just launched a new campus down at Knob Hill that meets on Sundays at 11 o'clock. We'd love to invite you out and have you check it out.
Absolutely.
And get you plugged in.
That's great. I appreciate it. Love you guys. Thank
you too, man. Thanks
God
for
bless.
Calling in.
Take care.
All right. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live, 505-338-3700, the phone number.
Break?
Yeah, we got to take a quick break. Yeah, we got to take a quick break. But if you would like to chime in, the phone lines are open. And, of course, as always, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Static Radio.
Shock Therapy Live. A little heated by tonight's topic? No? Then we're not doing our job. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, welcome back. Stop.
What does that do when I click those?
Normally, here, I'll show you because we actually got a caller on the phone. 505-338-3700, the phone number, if you'd like to chime in on the conversation. Or if you have a question, man, it's been a heavy night already. We got some crazy emails. I will fight you if you keep pressing buttons. Hello, Shock Therapy.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, cool boy from Cruises?
Check it out, man. First of all, I went to see the Avengers with my family, and I love it when Hulk punches Thor.
Yeah, when he's like standing there, boom.
That was like my favorite part of the movie.
could be my favorite movie right now. Like,
dude,
seriously.
That's my favorite. The family, we love it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But
broke records all over. It surpassed 200 million domestically. Best opening weekend
worldwide.
Yeah, 600 million worldwide. Best opening weekend of all time. So,
dude, we went on a Saturday at 12 noon, the first showing, and it was packed.
Yeah, we went Friday 10:30 a.m. We pulled our boys from school thinking no one's going to go right now, and it was fully packed. Fully packed.
Man, Hulk is my new favorite superhero.
Dude,
so
that was a great question.
About superheroes?
We appreciate
that. Okay, all right, guys. On a serious note,
yeah, man.
Check it out, man. I'm part of a ministry, and my lifestyle before church, it was pretty crazy, pretty hectic, drugs, you know, everything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And me and my wife have been together since high school it's already almost on 14 years. And we get into this ministry, we're in there, we're 4 years into it. Something happens with the pastor, he gets pulled, another pastor comes in. Me and my wife are being used as the head of the children's ministry. Man, I love kids. I mean, dude, I just have a heart for them. And me and my wife, we put everything into it. We didn't ask money from nobody. All our finances we put into it. And I'm not complaining about it. I just need to understand that. It's just like we loved it so much that we put whatever we had into it. And all of a sudden, like, this is what the pastor told me, that he was grooming me for the pulpit work. You know, I was doing offerings. I was doing announcements. And what happened was children ministry was lacking in helpers, right, in people that are willing to come in and teach or just, you know, help. So me and my wife, being the head of it, we're like, it's not a big deal. Let's do it, you know?
Right.
I'll do it every Sunday if I have to. I mean, you know what I mean? And it's like I got pulled. This is what hurt. I got pulled to the side at an event that we had. I did a rap little concert. You know, I like to freestyle a little bit and rap. So I did a concert for a regional thing. And then after I did it, I get pulled to the back room, and I was told that I'm hiding from church in the children's ministry, that I'm hiding from being in service by hiding in the children's ministry. And I was blown away, Nate and Steve-O. I was blown away. And I haven't gone back since, man. And it was awkward. I couldn't understand. I even told him, I said, I feel like you're speaking from the flesh. I said, I don't know what you're upset about because it's a small church and we need help here and there. But I was just blown away that he had the audacity to say that I was hiding, because there's not many leaders as far as pulpit workers. You know, and I'm not a theologian. I'm not up there like that. You know, but if God wants to use me in certain ways, I'm a willing vessel. And it was just like when he told me that I was hiding out. But the way it was, oh man, dude, it was crazy.
Obviously, so, you're still pissed.
So what's your question?
My question is, what do I do? I mean, I feel like he was just upset because the church is not growing and certain things weren't happening. Because a pastor, believe me, I couldn't even begin to fathom the responsibility and the of a pastor and growing a church and building a church and building people. So it was like, you know, why did he come at me like that? It was just, it was weird.
Yeah, this is what I would say. He's church leadership, so it's a kind of a difficult situation. But this is what I would say to it. I think that biblically, what you should do is what Paul and Barnabas did, and they parted ways, and they were cool with that. Like you said, you haven't been back, and you haven't attempted to go back there. And honestly, I think that this is a thing where I just would honestly just stop going. I think that would just be like, all right, you know, if that's what you think, then I'm gonna start going somewhere else. I'm gonna go to a different church. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to a different fellowship. And I think that's probably how I would respond to it and how I would do it if I was in that situation. In a second, Steve is going to give you a really cool verse from Matthew chapter 18, which is another option.
Yeah.
But personally, what I would do is I would just stop going, and I wouldn't feel bad about not going. I wouldn't feel guilty about not going. I would find another church and start fellowshipping there, a place that appreciates and values your service and your involvement in the fellowship.
Yeah, my big question comes in with like, man, so this went down, and since then have you even spoken to the pastor? Did you guys try and hash it out, or was it like, hey man, this is, I think you're hiding, blah blah blah, and then you split and haven't gone back at all?
Have you confronted
this individual?
Yes, my wife actually went to the pastor's house with his wife, sat down, talked about it. I kind of just expressed, I said, man, like, really? Like, me and my wife are in there every Sunday. Well, I'm not complaining. It's with our hearts. I love the kids. The kids was like, give us hugs. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
it was awesome. You know? And it was like, for him to even have the cojones, you know what I mean? To be like, you guys are hiding out. Because it was like, well, then have you. Yeah, see, my wife's trying to hash in right now because
Dude.
We're both a little hurt.
Yeah, it's hilarious. This is like the super conversation. Like, yeah, this is like my family, my Spanish
Dude,
side of the family.
Exactly.
It's like,
and the
you
kids,
tell him I said! Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nobody really wanted to step up and help. And we recruited a few, and they were just like, they didn't want to do it. They would complain about it. They would... So it's like, dude, if you don't want to do it with your heart, cool. I'm here. My wife are here. We're here for the Lord. Bam, let's do this, you know? And it was all good. But then when he pulled me to the side, it kind of like, it was like a knife in the back, man.
Right.
It was like, wow, I cannot believe you're saying this.
Right, because you feel like you've been pouring into this ministry. You've been giving it your everything, your all, and then to be treated that way obviously sucks, and it hurts, right?
It really hurt, really hurt.
Here's what I would say, man. It seems like you've went the Matthew, because I was going to say Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence or two or three witnesses. And it keeps going on. And this is really more for something, you know, a church matter with, you know, because then after that, it's like, man, then you take it to the church. Then you take it to, and it sounds to me like, okay, you and your wife went over to your pastor's house. It doesn't sound like the conversation went well, right?
Not really. No,
yeah.
No.
I mean, you guys are obviously not serving there anymore. So
right.
You guys aren't being fed. You guys aren't doing anything. This pastor, I mean, how was it left off? Was it just like, cool, well, let's go our separate ways and that's it? Or what happened?
Well, it was like, oh, well, I hope you can, understand where I'm coming from. And, you know, I hope you continue to come to the service.
Just don't help with the kids.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, yeah, it was weird. I got people calling me from the church, like, hey, how's it going? You know, hey, man, love you guys, and this and that. And I'm just like, and even another member that was like the head ushers, man, they had the same sit down. And it was just like so weird. It was like, oh, you guys need to be recruiting people and not doing ushering all the time. And it's like, okay, since they're ushering all the time, so that's a bad thing? You know what I mean?
See, and I...
Yeah, you know, this is...
It's
this,
tough,
I have a hard time with this because I have a hard... with I think with both of these two questions, these church questions, it's hard for me because with the whole situation, I don't know what this pastor's mentality is, what this pastor's thinking is. I don't know what his philosophy of ministry is. It's definitely not my philosophy of ministry, but I don't know what it is. I definitely don't think it's a Matthew 18 scenario that you would bring a brother against him because technically, I mean, in reality, and this is where I think it's good that you part ways, in reality, as the senior pastor of the church, if he wants the people to be serving everyone in ushers or everyone in children's or no one serving in any and everyone going to the main sanctuary, ultimately the success of that ministry falls and lives on his shoulders. So, you know, if his ministry isn't succeeding, that's on him. And if he's making bad decisions, that's on him. So I would say in this situation, the most biblical thing to do is just do what Paul and Barnabas did and said, hey, check it out. We don't agree on the way that you're conducting your ministry, so we're going to split ways.
Yeah, man.
And I think that's completely biblical, and I think that's okay to do. But I have a really hard time with situations like this because, one, you know, I trust everything you're saying, but one, I haven't heard from him or his perspective. I haven't heard the whole, you know, the whole situation. And it makes it difficult dealing with situations like this because it can very quickly become a witch hunt.
Right.
That this guy's evil. We should do this and this and this.
Right.
And you know, again, I don't know his heart.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I would also tell you. If you decide to move on, you decide to go to another church and you start pouring in, one thing that I do agree with on this is, I'm not saying you were trying to skirt away from church or, you know, oh, you weren't in service. You were constantly helping kids. That's not healthy either because if you're constantly pouring out in kids' ministry, you need to be refilled.
And I've told volunteers that before.
Yeah, man. You cannot volunteer every single service in the kids' ministry or, you know, I go to a small church and I get that. I get that the workers are few, man. The workers are few. And we do have those same issues of, okay, who's going to help in children's ministry this morning? How are we going to do this? Who's going to do that? How's this going to work out? However, man, we have two services for a reason. You sit your butt down, you listen to the word of God for one service, and then you can go serve somewhere else at the second service because,
And that's why I say I have a difficult time with it because I've had this conversation with some of my leaders before that, hey, you know what? You're serving too much in too many things. I want you to tone it down, and I want you to be able to get
fed.
Sit
down, fill back up, you know, because if you're constantly pouring out, you'll never refill.
At our campus, we have a rule that you have to attend at least one service a week.
Yeah.
You can serve, but you have to attend at least one service a week because I don't want people to get burnt out by serving so much that they're not getting fed. So that's why I say I don't know the heart, and if he came across the wrong way and he said the wrong thing or put it in the wrong way, I don't know the situation, but I would say this. I think that the relationship thus far has been damaged enough that you shouldn't go back to that church and try to serve there again. I would find another church, get plugged in, and serve and find a place that you and your family can get fed.
Amen, man. I appreciate it, guys.
Cool, man.
And Nate, what you said about if you were to come to us and be like, you know what, I really believe you guys should really, you know, sit in a service once a week or you know, like my wife is right here on my ear, which I love her to death. Oh man, I love you, baby. in her words, which you know, she's right, which is, you know what, I'm concerned about how if you're being fed or if, you know, if you're getting the word.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even like that, guys.
Yeah.
It was just more like, it was like, I'm in the flesh. Like, dude, you guys are hiding out. I think you, and he actually sat us down. He said, you know what? I don't think you guys should do anything. I think you guys should just kick back for a little while. But it wasn't the concern. It was more of like putting his foot down, like I'm the man type thing.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? Unfortunately, those situations happen. I'm in a position of leadership in my church, and literally just today, I had to put my foot in my mouth, and I had to stop, and I had to apologize because, man, sometimes leaders, I don't know about if you knew that we're human and we still make mistakes too. So it sounds like maybe there was a misunderstanding, there was a mistake in the approach, his tact. Sounded like that kind of sucked a little bit, you know what I mean? But it sounds like you guys tried to talk it out. It sounds like it didn't work out, and as Nate's saying.
And this is what, dude, I would say. I would take a biblical approach to this. I would find another church, start fellowshipping, and then I would never talk about this pastor or that church to anyone else.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to become guilty of, you know, we don't know if God's going to still use them. We don't don't want to become guilty of slander. We don't want to become guilty of gossip. So I would you know, take it that, all right, you know what, God's taking this away. I'm gonna in grace and in mercy wish him the best and hope that his ministry flourishes, and I'm gonna go somewhere else and pray that God uses me and my family.
I agree.
Amen, fellas. All right, I appreciate it, man. I love you guys.
Love you too, Pool Boy.
All right, buddy.
Hey, and one thing, the Hulk rules.
Hey.
Later, guys.
See, that's one thing we can agree on. There you go. All right.
Later, bro.
All right, man.
Later.
Man. 505-338-3700. The phone number. Or, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. I am Steve-O. With me, as always, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We got some emails. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, by the way, because sometimes we get some pretty gnarly questions that are pretty personal. So if you'd like to keep it anonymous, studio@MyStaticRadio.com is our
web. We should get to a Facebook question. I feel bad. People have told us before we never get to the Facebook questions.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll get to the phone
call. Because we get a lot of phone calls nowadays.
All right.
Okay, let's do the first one. When God calls you to do something, how do you know when it's time to move on?
From the thing that he called you to do?
I don't know.
The thing before?
I'm just going to say when he opens doors. That's going to be my answer. When God opens doors. I think a lot of people want to know the will of God, and they sit on their butt until, like, the angel comes down and tells them to go this way.
Right.
And my policy is finding the will of God and moving on forward to what he's done in your life is, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then you can pretty much do what you want. And what I mean by that is the Bible says that that he will give you the desires of your heart if you walk.
Delight yourself in the Lord, man.
Psalm 37. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's your mom's life verse, bro.
So I think that's funny you remember that.
That's how I remember that, is because it's Linnea's life verse.
So what that verse is talking about is that if we're living our lives for God, the desires of our heart are naturally going to be the desires that he would have for our hearts. So if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then when he brings things into your life, all you have to do is walk through the door. And if the door gets closed, then you know it wasn't his will. Then you can move on to something else. I think if God's calling you to something, it's not smart to just sit around and wait.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, well, I don't know when he's calling me to it. Well, if he called you to it, try to walk through the door. And if he closes, then you know it wasn't for now, it was for later. So I think that's the most simple way to put it. Look for open doors.
There you go.
Okay, now we can take a call and question. I just wanted to get to one.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
They hung
Hang up.
Up. They got tired of waiting. See? Because you took a Facebook question.
I'm okay
question.
With that.
505-338-3700.
Maybe the Facebook people
the phone
are getting
number.
Tired of waiting.
It's perfect because we had to take a break anyway. So we're going to take our last break of the evening. Coming right back with more of your Facebook questions, or, of course, 505-338-3700. Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O, Pastor Nate, Static Radio.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
All right, this is it.
Oh, my.
This has been a
long show for me.
It's been, you know what? It's been a weird show because it's just been, like, deep, dark, gnarly questions.
Yeah.
What happened to all the fun questions about, like, love
Didn't
and
we have last
joy?
Week's, we should have just played last week's show.
Of course, now we got somebody on hold, and we're going to take their call, and they're going to be like, never mind.
No, we like this question.
505-338-3700.
Before we take this question, these kind of questions are the questions that Shock Therapy is all about.
How do you know?
Huh?
We don't even know what the question is yet.
Well, yes, we do, because we asked the topic.
We asked the topic? We don't know.
Relationships.
Shock Therapy Live.
What's
hey,
up?
Guys.
Hey.
What's up, man?
So, this question has actually got me rebuked several times.
Oh, sweet.
We like it even more now. Now this is our question.
No, it is not okay to... Never mind. Okay, go.
Beat you.
I met this girl on a DECA trip a while back, and I can't say that... I really don't know how to put this, but I have feelings for her, obviously, but I've never felt this way about someone before, and I've been in relationships before, and I've asked, like, my youth pastor and other people that are close to me about this, and they just say, oh, well, you're an idiot, you're only in high school, you need to stop feeling like that, and I just don't know what to do, because, like, I've never felt these feelings towards someone before, and, like, I just don't know what to do.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you this. Two things. One, seek the Lord, and two, don't be a creeper. And what I mean by that is if you truly feel like you have relationship feelings for her, go tell her and let her know you want to start hanging out and be friends. Yeah. But don't be a creeper about it. What I mean by that is I've seen so many people who feel that God's calling them into a relationship, and they'll go to a girl and say, God told me that we're meant to be together. And it's super creepy and it's super strange. And we actually just encountered a situation near the church where there was a guy who was doing this to a girl, and he was like following her around and telling her that he was going to marry her. And finally, his dad had this girl's dad had to get involved and tell this kid and this kid's dad, if I ever see you talking to my kid again, I'm going to beat you.
Wow.
Because it's like it gets to a point where it's like, you know what?
Creepy.
You know, she doesn't have, if so I would talk to her and see, you know, what she thinks, and see if she has the same feelings. If she doesn't have the same feelings for you that you have for her, then drop it. Because if it's God's will, then God's going to put it together and you don't have to. And then put it in God's hands. But be honest with her, talk to her, tell her the truth. And I truly believe, and you know, I know it sounds cheesy, but I believe in love at first sight. I think that you know, when I saw Janae, she was dating a guy. She was here visiting for one weekend, and I told my mom, I was like, "So tell me about that girl, Mom." And she said, "Well, her name's Janae. She has a boyfriend." And I said, "I don't care. Is she engaged?" And my mom said, "No." And I said, "Cool, because if there ain't no ring, there ain't no thing."
Oh, my gosh.
And then I said, "I'm going to marry that girl."
Wow.
And I married that girl.
You did marry that girl.
I put a ring on it.
I'm proud of you.
That is great, because that is almost the exact same situation.
Oh, no.
With her, yeah.
Oh,
she's,
man,
dating somebody?
You just gave him crappy advice, because this girl's got a boyfriend.
Let me,
and
hey,
he's going to walk up.
Hold on.
Let me
clarify the situation here. My wife's boyfriend at the time was a guy living in Azusa. He wasn't walking with the Lord. He was living away from God.
Uh-huh.
He was constantly walking away from God. And he literally told my wife this: "You have to choose between me and God."
Ugh.
So I took her from a bad relationship. It wasn't like this guy was like an upstanding guy in the church, and I was like, "Hey, you know, God told me we're going to be together." It wasn't anything like that. So, you know, I don't know. I would talk to her and be honest with her. That's what I ended up doing with my wife. She was dating this guy, and I finally told her, I was like, "Look, I've got feelings for you, and it kills me to hang out with you and know that you're dating this guy. So either A, tell me that you're going to break up with him and we're going to date, or B, I can't hang out with you because it's too hard for me." And then, you know,
That sounds almost like manipulation.
No, I was fully prepared. fully prepared if she said, "I'm going to keep dating this guy," to be like, "All right, cool." And I wasn't going to bother her anymore. I wasn't going to talk to her anymore. I just couldn't hang out with her because it was, you know, it was killing me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's okay to be honest, but after that honesty has come out, if she doesn't feel the same way, to drop it.
Yeah.
All right.
True story.
Cool.
I mean, have you ever, you've never expressed any feelings or desire towards this girl at all?
No.
None.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Have you told her,
"Hey,
yeah,
I like you, check yes or no. Do you like me too?"
Yeah.
What did she say?
She just really thanked me for my honesty and all that, and I actually told her exactly what you told Janae. I was like, it's really hard for me to talk to you knowing that you're in a relationship and my feelings for you.
Yeah.
But
what'd she say?
She's like, "Oh, well, honestly, I think it's your call, and we can be friends and stuff, but I'd still like to talk to you and stuff."
Okay, so let me tell you what that means in girl language.
Nice try.
What that means is that she does not have the same feelings for you in the way that you do.
Yeah, that's what
I
heard.
If she did, she would be willing to break up with that guy. The fact that she didn't say, "Well, I still want to be friends," means that she doesn't want to have that relationship
with you. She sounds like a really nice girl, though, because she spared his feelings.
Yeah.
And used super cryptic girl talk to say, "I just want to be friends."
It is cryptic girl talk.
It is.
And anytime a girl says, "Well, thanks for being honest with me," and then whatever's after that's not going to be good. just joking. But honestly, I would take this situation and I would say, you know what? You've told her how you feel, and that's not going to change. You telling her that 15 times over the course of 2 weeks through letters, emails, and cakes sent to her house isn't gonna swoo her anymore. Shut up. I was going to say woo and sway, and it came out as swoo. At least I didn't say swooey. So, you know, you've done what you felt you needed to do. I wouldn't address it anymore. I would leave it be. And this is the thing. Check it out, man. You told her how you feel. And you say that you feel this is something from the Lord. If it is from God, then he'll bring her to you. He will do it. You won't have to do it yourself. You won't have to keep pursuing her. And you won't have to keep calling her.
Because you've already tried.
Yeah. if it's of God, then he's going to bring her to you. And anything that God has put together, no man can tear apart. So if God has put this together, then no man can tear it apart, not the boyfriend that she's with, not anyone, if that's true. If it isn't God's will, then you need to trust that and let that be, and trust that God's going to show you who it is his will that you're with, and leave it in his hands either way. So I think at this point you need to let it go, let God take control of it, and trust that God's going to work out, in according to his will and his plan for your life, the best image and the best scenario for your life that you could ever imagine.
All right.
Does that
I know that sucks help? And I know that hurts, because you're like, man, I really like her. But if you really like her, the best thing that you can do for her is let God speak to her and make sure that it's God speaking to her and not you.
And if you're really into her, I don't know necessarily about the whole, like, well, but my feelings for you are so overwhelming that I can't be your friend, because I'm pretty sure then that's just going to end, right?
Huh?
Like, wouldn't you want to still, like, be bros if you cared for this person and, like...
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not sure. With Janae, it was a hard thing for me, because every time I saw her, I was like, man, I just want to be in a relationship with her. And the fact that I couldn't... Well, it's like driving me nuts. So for me, I couldn't get it in my head that I can just be your
friend. Yeah, but you approached her and she was like, oh, yeah, what?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I want to be your friend too, man. Look at you, Nate, with your skinny arms and your angel's hat and your long flowing blonde hair.
You're a freak. Dude, this poor kid is going to break down and cry tonight, and you're putting frivolity and jokery and mockery.
Frivolity? Did you just make up a word? Gosh! Drive me crazy! We're supposed to sound educated!
Edumacated.
Frivolity? What is wrong with you?
You know what?
Thanks for the call, Robert.
Man. You know, leave it in God's hands.
How old are you, man? Let me ask you how old you are.
I'm about to turn 18.
Oh, okay. All right. Dude.
Yeah.
Don't sweat it.
You know...
Trust me.
Yeah.
At that age, I'm going to sound like an old dude. At that age.
You
but
know...
But truly...
I don't know.
I struggle with it, man.
I have a buddy of mine, who shall remain nameless, and he has been convinced that he was going to marry a girl for the past 6 years, and she's expressed, she's hurt him many times, she's broke his heart many times, she moved to a different country.
Oh, wow.
And he still believes that they're going to be married, and it's strange. To say the least. He refuses to date other girls. He refuses to talk to other girls. And I truly believe that he might have missed out on the girl that God really intended for him, because he's been so focused and fixated on this situation.
Yeah, and that's funny, because that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
So I would give it to God and then let God show you what he wants to do.
Yeah, because
You don't want to be so focused on this relationship that you miss the relationship that he really intended for you.
Booyah.
So I guess from that I could ask... Are you not supposed to be looking for a relationship and just let God put someone in your life?
Let me tell you, I was a dater. I dated a lot. I dated a lot of chicks, and they were always terrible situations. They were terrible. And this was, you know, before I was walking, and they always ended poorly. And finally, you know, I gave my life to Christ, and I truly started following him. And then I thought, okay, now that I got Jesus, I need the Christian girlfriend. And so I was constantly trying to find that person to fill that void. And so one day, my dear, dear friend, my best friend in the universe, Joey Belleville, came to me and said, bro, you need to, like, take a break, because you're constantly dating. And I'm like, yeah. And so I started praying about it, and I decided, you know what, Lord? I'm going to take this time to focus on you and discover what my relationship with you looks like, so that I can get that solid, so that when I do finally meet that person that I'm supposed to be with, that it'll be centered around you, first of all, and it'll be okay. And so I gave it up, and I decided, you know what, I'm not going to pursue anyone except Jesus Christ. And I started living just specifically for Christ. I got involved in ministry, and I jumped in head first, and I put in my mind, like, I'm not going to date for like a year, you know, and I had decided that was it, and I'm not going to. And 2 months later, I met my wife.
Dude, the same thing happened to me.
And I knew the moment I met her, I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, and I knew it was God, and he, I mean, literally, in that moment, and he showed me.
Yeah.
And it was because I wasn't looking.
I agree. I did the same thing. I dated for a long, long time, and then I got in with a really bad relationship. I said, you know what? I'm not dating anybody until I'm ready to get married.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, I met Janae.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'm going to marry this girl.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, and it was cool the way that it worked out.
That's the way dating should be. We shouldn't date just to date,
I think,
man.
That so many people just try, and they're so obsessed on finding their wife or finding their spouse, and because of that, that's all they're looking for, and they can sometimes miss out on what God has for them in their life.
You're not even 18. Are you ready to get married?
No.
Then why are you wanting to date?
Well, I don't.
Let's be honest.
Okay. Well, I've had relationships, but like I said, when I gave my question, I've never felt this way about a girl before.
I know. I heard like, the Dirty Dancing theme. Yes, I swear.
Yeah.
It's the
truth. You know, and again, emotions are a very tricky thing. Just because you have an emotion doesn't necessarily mean that it's from God. The way that you can tell it's from God is if God arranges it and God brings it to pass.
Amen.
You know? So just because you have an emotion doesn't necessarily mean it's a right emotion. You know, I think that it's really bad, and I think people do this. They place the stock in the truth of something based off the emotion that, oh, because I've never felt this way about this person, that means that they must be the person for me.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're placing all the stock in the emotions that you're feeling, which are man-made emotions, and you're taking that as divine, you know, foresight from God. So I think it's really, really dangerous to do that. So I would just encourage you, you've expressed how you feel, and now leave it in God's hands. And you know, that's a very biblical thing to do. Leave it in God's hands. Let me tell you, if it's God's will for you guys to get married, you're going to. If it's not, you're not.
Yeah, and so don't miss out on who God may have for
now,
you.
And you've already done what you have to do. You're not like just some guy who's like, oh, well, I'll never talk to her. If it's God's will for me to get married, then I'll get married to her. That's strange. You've addressed it. You've told her how you feel. And now you got to leave it in God's hands.
Yep. There it is. All right, Robert, thank you for the call. We have like 1 minute. Oh, and they were so patiently waiting on the phone, too.
Well, they called, so they hung up, and then they called back.
I know. 505-338-3700, the phone number.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late to apologize.
What about the Book of Moses? I don't know what the Book of Moses is.
What? The Book of Moses? Yeah, we got some interesting questions on Facebook.
Yeah, we're not going to have enough time to answer them. I would say this. I'll just answer it really quick. Question I get from a lot of people is, who put together the Bible and how do we know it's true? Because there are things like the book of Judas and related things, but those aren't in the Bible. Why? Okay, check it out. The books that we have in the Bible came to be from the Council of Nicaea, and it was St. Augustine, and he got with a big group of people, and they said, look, these are the books, we're going to canonize them because you had crazy cracked out books like the book of Judas coming about. The books that were already in the Christian church had been held as the truth in the Christian church for a long time. There was just no one who had canonized them and said this is the truth. So what was happening is the church was already reading the books from the apostles that we have and that we currently read. The Council of Nicaea decided, though, we need to canonize it and say that these are the books so that crazy people like the Book of Judas and these other books don't come about and cause people to get led astray. So we get our Bible ideally, it was canonized from the Council of Nicaea, but the books that we hold as divine scripture have been around since the beginning of the church. So,
booyah! Perfect timing. Because we're done. We should take this call, and if it's a really crazy question, we'll answer it off the air. What if someone's hurting? What if they're in need?
I hate you.
I love you, too. Mm-hmm. I love you, too. That's it for us. We're out. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my new co-host, Stephen Christian, lead singer of Amberlin. In studio. He's already in town. I can't believe it's really happening.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this for a very long time. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a blast.
You guys are going to do great.
We are going to do great. So, anyways, we'll see you again tomorrow morning. We won't see you, though. We had somebody say they were sad. They hoped it was you, but it's not.
Aww.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.